Join me in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 19. You see a portion of the text there on the screen. Begins about the fourth line down, I believe. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. And it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body. Whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Death is a great loss to a worldly man or woman. For he or she loses all of the earthly comforts and all of the hopes tied to this existence. But to a believer, death is gain. For it is the end of all weakness and all misery. It delivers a person from all the evils of life and brings one to possess the greatest of good. Paul's difficulty here in this passage was not between living in this world and living in heaven. Between those two, there is no comparison for Paul. He made that quite clear. But his difficulty was between serving Christ in this world and enjoying him in the other. Not between two evil things, but between two good things. Living and serving Christ, or dying and moving into that existence in the face of Jesus Christ. In this world, we are surrounded by sin. But when we are with Christ, we will escape sin and temptation, sorrow and death forever. But those who have the greatest desire to leave this earth and to be with Christ should be willing to remain here as long as God has any work for them to do. These words I've just given you are from the commentary of Matthew Henry, and I gave them to you straight from him. I couldn't have written them any better, because here we see this agony, if you will, in the mind of Paul. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. A place where he said, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. And I think that kind of humorous, because it actually couldn't choose. It's all up to the good Lord. But note the challenges in his mind. I hear underneath his words that he's tired. He's ready to go. He's ready to see his reward. He's ready to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and see him once again from the time he had seen him previous. But then, understanding his capacity as an apostle, understanding his position as a writer of Scripture, understanding his position as one who founded churches and then now leads those men and women in the church, he sees his place. Last week I spoke to you about assurance of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ after the choir's beautiful anthem last week. I ask you the question, do you have the assurance of salvation in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope that question you've pondered some this week and answered it more fully than what you might have. Here in Paul's writings, we not only see the overwhelming confidence and assurance, but here we see so much more. We see his willingness to sacrifice. We see his willingness to sacrifice and to do that very thing for which he was called. You hear his heart's desire. He's ready to go be with his Lord. But yet he's ready to fulfill that which God has given him for the existence of time, for the time of his existence here on earth. Verse 21, listen once again. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that may remains fruitful labor for me. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and the joy in the faith. What does Paul mean when he says, for me to live is Christ? For me to live is Christ. It means to derive one's strength from Christ. It means to have the mind and humble disposition of Christ. It means to know Christ through the Christian experience. For me to live in Christ is to be covered with the righteousness of Christ and to rejoice in his glory. And this is Paul. He's reveling in his assured position in Christ Jesus. He speaks with great confidence and assurance here of knowing his place with God through Jesus Christ, but also his role in the ministry. How about us? How about you? Personal question. How about me? Do I gain my strength from Christ always? Do you have the mind and humble disposition of Christ? You know, I've been working on humility these first 6 or 8 months of the year and last year. Are we covered with the righteousness of Christ? Do we rejoice and live in the glory? You can't help but hear Paul's assurance, his confidence speaking of his position with Christ. Do we have the same? Do you have the same? And then Paul's next statement, it has to challenge our earthly minds to hear someone say this. To die is gain. Doesn't make sense to a earthly, worldly person. To die is gain. Makes no sense to the non-believing mind. I dare say that there are not too many of us in this room who honestly make that statement. I know some of you have. But see, living in this world, in our society, in our culture, we're not conditioned this way. We are conditioned to enjoy this. We are conditioned to be content with this. For many teach, this is all there is. When you die, you cease. That's it. Don't worry about it. As Paul quotes the Greek culture, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's it. In this world, we are conditioned to achieve a perceived immortality. We, through our medical advances, and praise God for the work he's done in the medical advances, through the wisdom he's given doctors and nurses, etc. One of our own is depending on it right now. But there is underlying this perception that we can achieve a level of health and existence here, and then we can enjoy and be right here. We like it here. And so we want to extend being here. We ask someone, I hear this, you may have not. We ask someone who's been ill, how you doing? He says, well, I'm better, but I'm not good yet. And then they continue, but it beats the alternative. The alternative is dying. Ask Paul that question. Is the alternative not so good? No, to die is gain. Folks, we who are Christians, as John wrote in his letter of Revelation, we should desire every moment of our lives to leave the wilderness and go home. Now please, nobody run out of here and take this into your own hands. For just as Paul has a ministry and he fulfilled it, we do too. God puts you on this earth for a period of time for a purpose. But in our hearts and minds, do we really desire to be away from this? Paul dismisses his personal desires and he moves on to his purpose in verse 24. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. I entitled the sermon, Necessary on Your Account. Because Paul desires to be away, but he understands his purpose. He understands his place in the ministry. He understands his call. And he understands the ultimate decision of all of this is God's. And so while God allows him to tarry in this life, he will fulfill his position because it's necessary on your account. He's speaking to the Philippians. He continues in verse 25 and 26. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary in your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the flesh, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus. Staying here means he continues his work, and his work is to bring the Philippian church, us now also, to the place of where we're seeing and enjoying and honoring and bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Can we say that? To live as Christ, but to die as gain. Sounds so morbid. I do. I long to be gone. Because I know my family are all believers. My children. My grandchildren. Many of you, all of you, I consider family. Let's go do this in heaven. But while we're here, until that time of which the Lord has been appointed to return, we will fulfill our place. Confidence and assurance. Paul had it in great measure. I pray you do. Sacrifice for others. Paul had it. He said, to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Sacrifice for others is a part of the Christian life. Where do these attributes come from that Paul enjoys? What's their origin? What brings about such thinking? What brings about such a mindset, such a place of assured peace for Paul? What has been done to bring that about in the apostle? This table. More precisely, what this table represents. For you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the assurance of his Father's will, died to bring salvation to a people. In his assured position as the Son of God, and in the love of the Father, he did exactly what he was called to do. This table also represents the sacrifice for the good of others. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, they will hear my voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down and have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Out of love, Jesus Christ did this. Out of the Father's love, Jesus, fully assured, fulfilled what he was given. It was necessary on our account for the Lord Jesus Christ to lay down his life. There is no other way that one might find salvation except through the name of Jesus Christ. It was necessary on our account that he lay his life down. It was necessary for Paul to remain in the flesh for the good of those who followed his teaching. It was necessary for your salvation. It was necessary for your sanctification, our growing in Christ, that Paul remained in the flesh. This reveals great assurance. This reveals a great confidence in Paul. It means Paul's a good man. No. I think he referred to himself as the chief of all sinners. I may race him in that feat. But his confidence comes from the love of the Father, given to him through his place in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the assurance of which he speaks from here to you today, the Holy Spirit speaks to you here today, is that same place. Your assurance, your salvation in Jesus Christ was all accomplished through the work of this table. There is no other way by which one might be saved. Are you? Do you have that confidence, that assurance, to say as Paul, to die is gain? Which means I'm ready. But if I remain in the flesh, it's for your account.